love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings. This is the automatically deleted husband, still very concerned about what's happening with his wife and his family. There are several things. The more trivial first, I went to Publix today, and on the return, as I was walking back, I saw a gentleman, a few hundred feet in front of me, and then he walked off into a school parking lot. And I was curious. He was wearing a mask, and he, after a little while, I turned around. And he eventually walked back onto the sidewalk and continued. So he walked around me. There's a possibility it was even the same guy that did the similar thing to me a couple weeks ago. But I find that fascinating, that people live in such fear. Fear for something that is demonstrably untrue. What is that? What did I quote about a year ago? Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, or the righteous are bold as a lion. There is no pandemic. Pandemics occur when you have a massive increase in deaths. Look at the statistics for all cause deaths in the United States last year. There is no pandemic. But the second thing was, as maybe a mile down the road further, I had just gotten up a hill. And, you know, I tend to walk up hills like I walk in flat ground. Walk down hills, I slow down. Walk up hills, don't slow down at all. But then got to the top of the hill, made the turn, and apparently a car came up the hill and then turned my direction, rolled down their window, and it was a woman, I'm guessing around 30, and with a child, and asked if I needed any help. And, you know, I said no and whatnot. But, and she actually had to turn around. So she went out of her way to come to me, which I found fascinating. I found remarkable. I was really encouraged. You know, again, I politely told her because, you know, I understand. When you see a guy walking down the street, especially, you know, an older guy with bags over his shoulders, it looks kind of like this guy could be in need. But, you know, it's my norm. And the reason that I am in such good health is because I do things like I did today, a 7-mile hike. I did it kind of slow today. I was probably doing just over 4 miles an hour as opposed to my typical 4.7 or so. And it was warm today. It was delightful. But anyway, I did stop with Gary, see Gary and Lynn, and it does concern me because Gary does say that he wants to get the vaccine. And I'm really concerned because he's not in great health. And, you know, a whole lot of people who got the vaccine who are not in great health die. The other thing that was interesting is just before I got to Lynn and Gary, I saw laying on the ground a credit card. And I thought, okay, here we go again. Because a couple months ago, did the same thing. Saw somebody's credit card laying on the ground. So I picked it up. And when I got home, the last time I called the number and actually got to talk to a person and told them, here's the card, here's the number. I don't know who this is, and, you know, please cancel it, because it otherwise was a valid card. And I tried again today with Capital One this time. Could not get to a person. Tried various phone numbers and whatnot. It was ridiculous. The bigger corporations, you know, I've tried this with Federal Express before. The corporations that become big, your customer service is pathetic. That's one of the reasons why I strive to deal with smaller players or individuals and avoid the big companies. About the only big company I deal with fairly regularly is Publix. But, you know, when the farmer's market opens again in a few months, I'll be getting more of my food there. And it used to be when we had weekly fig, that was great. But anyway, that's another issue. But You know, the reason I thought about the customer service is because small companies can do that so much better, like eSystem South. But if they don't answer their phone anymore, have they been hit by the Great Reset? I don't know. Since you probably won't listen to this, you know, what can I say? You know, obviously I've tried a lot of ways, including sending an email today about what I did today. And like I say, it was scary. And I feel like that's so strange. What I did today, I mean, as I was writing the address on the envelopes, I really felt nervous. It shouldn't be that way. I felt nervous. But I sent two envelopes out today. I pondered where they should go. Because I looked at my stack, I said, oh, I got two envelopes left. I need to get more. So I said, okay, for the moment, who are the priorities? And one was obvious, but the other I debated, but I did send to Jim Cross the same three DVDs I sent to George. The one to George, I've actually watched a couple times because I think about what was said. It goes back to the idea of years ago, I've mentioned this several times, I watched somebody interview somebody else. And I think the person being interviewed was, what's his name? Billy Graham. And, you know, this was 1980s. And I saw, and the guy asking a question, and he said, the scripture says, and then gave a response. What the question was, how well he responded, I don't know. But at that time, in the 1980s, it was kind of like, I want to be like that. I want to be able to answer a question rationally from the scripture. Not just simply saying, oh, here's a verse that kind of applies. But this is what it means, and this is why I can contend that this is what the scripture means. You know, it's so different than saying, you know, so often, it's, you know, maybe the great analogy is the long dialogues I had with two different parties about a year, maybe even 2 years apart. I think it was only a year apart. The first guy was the white racist, and he would use a bunch of scripture to show how, you know, that God kind of, I forget now because it's been so long, you know, preferred white people. And his rationale, you know, he talked about Adam and so forth, and he misused. He used strong numbers. The problem was he misused them. And, you know, I pointed it out to him. I pointed it out to him that he simply was abusing the evidence that was set before him to draw a conclusion that somehow the white race is superior. And all he did is come back and repeat the same verses over and over and over. It wasn't irrational. He was fueled by hate for the non-white population. The irony is, like I say, some year plus later, I dealt with another gentleman who was a black racist. And he was telling me how the blacks are superior, that Jesus was black, and the time is coming when the white race will be put under the feet of the black people. I mean, you know, it was just simply the same attitude in a different color. And I interacted with him, challenged his misuse of scripture and things of that nature. He did the same thing. He just requoted the same verses over and over and over again. It was irrational. So coming from complete opposites, but using the same techniques. Neither one of them showed love. Neither one of them would actually had any understanding of what the scripture said. And, you know, I think about the dialogue I had, sort of dialogue I had, when Jim Cross, I used the Matthew 5:24, if your brother has something against you, and the call to reconcile. And his response was, yes, I have something against you. And it was kind of like, do you understand what I quoted, what I read, so forth? The response was no different than what these racists did. And then when we went to the Matthew 19, and the statement, Jesus' statement about the hardness of your heart, and he applied it to the hardness of my heart. And it's kind of like, excuse me, we're not reading the same text. The hard heart was for somebody who wanted to get rid of their wife. Exactly opposite to that. He's taking individual words and read into a meaning he wants to proclaim. He's not looking at what the scripture says, but what he wants it to mean. No different. And I would suggest, especially if you, because I think I got a little in depth on this, on the video I did to George. And it's long, it's 70 some minutes. But I went through a lot of areas, and I will contend that instead of saying, this is what I want the scripture to mean, I try to say, here's the evidence from the scripture why I will contend this is what the scripture says. You know, the obvious one, because I dwelt on it, and I backed it up with a whole bunch of references and why the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. You know, because it's not that I, you know, when people say, well, you know, we read church in the Bible, and I go through, well, it comes from the word ecclesia. And they say, well, that's church. Well, yes and no. Again, if you look at things like the Young's Literal Translation or the newer English English Literal English Standard, anyway, literal Standard Version, neither of those translations in the entire translation use the word church anywhere. They use assembly or congregation because it's a not very good translation. Because it gives a connotation, and as I've described, King James specified to use that in order to twist the meaning. And, you know, it's not that I'm trying to contend that ecclesia means this. I go one step further. You know, ecclesia is made up of two words. Ek, which means out, and kaleo, which is to call. So when you see Greek English dictionary, and it says ekklesia means the called out ones, it's because ek is out, kaleo is call. So it's kind of like, well, okay, I see where that means that. How do you get church from that? How do you get an institutional church? How do you get a church building from that? Because that's what the word church means. The point of all this is we are called to mature, to grow towards perfection or completeness. Again, look it up. That's what mature means. And I will contend. You can see it in me. And I so celebrate that. I don't celebrate that as pride. Look at me, aren't I special? But it's thank you, Lord. I wanted in the 1980s to be able to respond like the guy, whether it was Billy Graham or somebody else, whoever it was, I wanted to be able to do that. And today I can. The Lord has been very good to me. I have been crushed emotionally. That's why I was so nervous about doing those letters. But he gave me a gift. He showed me himself. And I celebrate that immensely. You know, and it's like the argument I gave in the video to George, I think it's there, about what science is. Something to celebrate. Something to prepare my kids with. I still want to do that. I said that things are going to change in 2021. A couple things already have. And I'm quite confident a whole lot more will. Again, I don't know, for the better or the worse. But a very nervous fellow, me, put two envelopes in the mail today to make it really clear. And I want it to be clear. I'm asking for a mutual reconciliation. The email I sent out, I think, was very clear on that. To pursue reconciliation so at least some of my kids can have a relationship with their dad. I want it with my wife, most importantly. I have no evidence she wants it with me. But it's been now over eight and a half years. When we get to the 9-year mark, things will have changed radically. I'm pretty sure I can guarantee that. I'm asking that it's done mutually in obedience to Christ, with love at the forefront. Otherwise, one day, and I'll try to make sure it's an unexpected day, I will be at Seven Oaks knocking at your door. This can't go on the way it is. A bit over 30 years ago, Dorothy Jean and I committed the rest of our lives to each other. I'm still living it. And I'm not giving up. My lady, I love you.